Pray with me. Father, we thank you that there's no other name under heaven whereby men and women can be saved but the name and the person Jesus. We ask that you would bless this service today. Bless the spoken word. And may it touch our hearts and change us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Title of our sermon for this afternoon, When Less Is More. When less is more. Even as an adult, I wonder how they did it. My brother Lewis and my sister Christine and I, we would come home from school. We would look in the refrigerator and we would look in the cabinets for something good to eat. And many times we did not see anything. But by the time that dinner was ready, and we'd sit at the table, there was plenty of good food. It was good, and it was enough. Then, to me, my mother was Mommy. Mommy would clear the dishes, and there would be leftovers. And everyone would be satisfied. I don't know how she did that. How could less, we just got through rummaging through the cabinets, how could less be more? I'd like to share with you for a few moments a story that speaks to this. It's found in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9. What book did I say, everybody? Oh, you didn't say it. You must be asleep. What book did I say, everybody? The Gospel of St. Luke, the 9th chapter, and verses 10 through 17. And while you're turning there, briefly, I'd just like to highlight the story. I won't read it again, but just like to highlight it. Jesus and his disciples had a couple of busy days. The word had just come that John the Baptist had been killed. The crowds were getting large and larger because Passover was coming. And so the disciples, Jesus our Lord, needed a moment to rest, just to kind of get away from it all. So they got a boat on the Jordan and ventured up the Jordan for about 3 or 4 miles to the mouth of the Lake of Galilee. But not surprisingly, the crowd saw them in the boat and followed them 3 or 4 miles to get to them. And so by the time that Jesus landed on the shore, the crowd was waiting for him. And without even a sigh or a sign of impatience, our Lord received them. He healed them and took care of all of their needs. But as the day wore on, the disciples said to Jesus, "Send them away so that they can go to town, buy some food, get a little rest." You see, we're in the desert here. We can't do anything about that. Now, I think that that was sound judgment by the disciples. Quite a crowd. Let them go in town, get some food. They're in the desert, can't get anything here, so that they could have something to eat. Now, of all the years I've been in ministry, I don't think I've ever preached on this passage. I think it's because we know the story, we hear it, and then we just move on. And I've probably taken it that way. But it is one of the important passages in the scripture because it's the only miracle that I can think of. And if you find another one, please let me know. I'm happy to be informed. The only one that all four of the gospel writers list this particular story. Some say that it is the crowning miracle of Jesus' ministry. And one of the things that you do not see when you read the scripture, there are no skeptics about this. It could be because of the nature of the miracle, the large number of people that have to do with this miracle, there's no one who could say it didn't happen. And so we hear, we have it. Disciples say, go get something in town. And Jesus says something that I have read and just move right through. Jesus says to the disciples, give them something to eat. Well, I knew I wouldn't get an amen on that, because that's how I reacted to it. Jesus says, give them something to eat. And the Bible doesn't say that, but I imagine the disciples said, what? Give them something to eat. Yeah. You know, no matter how many times we see a miracle, we know about miracles, we never seem to be ready for the next one. Disciples were no different. And so Jesus said after that, disciples, organize them. Organize them in groups of 50. You see, there were 5,000, the Bible says. So that would come out to about 102 groups. And I don't know about you, but I think it took faith to be seated in the group. Not really seeing where the meal was coming from. And so the Gospel of St. John says that the disciple Andrew saw a boy, which is a sermon in itself, with some lunch. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now, we can't think of the loaves in the terms of the way we have bread today, molded in a certain shape and it's sliced just right. You know, we're talking about flat barley loaves, 5 of them and 2 fish. Sometimes I think it's possible to put ourselves in an attitude to not receive the blessings that the Lord has for us because we see no sign of it. Oh, I hope you got that. I think it's possible to put ourselves in an attitude where God wants to bless us, but since we can't see it or we can't feel it with our senses, we think that it's not going to happen. And the Bible says, Jesus took the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up into heaven and he blessed them. And he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. And they distributed it to the multitude. And between Jesus' hand and giving it to the disciples, something happened. And I want to know, how did he do that? And the Bible says, and they did eat, and all were filled, and afterwards they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Yeah, again, I kind of get a small glimpse of that when I think about my parents. I think about now as an adult, how in the world did they manage to feed us every single day? 4, 5 meals a day? And now I know how much money they made. Didn't matter then, but I know now. I don't know how they did it. So I want to know, how did Jesus do this? Well, first of all, he blessed it. What did he do, everybody? He blessed it. Let me tell you, this is something simple. I probably said it before. I'm going to insult your intelligence. Whenever you sit to eat food, give thanks. Bless it. I don't care if you're in your favorite restaurant or not. Bless it. Bow your heads and give thanks to God for it. I think sometimes we take for granted food. Food is a gift from God. God blessed it. Took the bread in his hand, and when God blesses it, it's blessed. That's how you can have leftovers. And when God blesses it, it's always enough. See, I know the young people don't know what I'm talking about because y'all have all the time. But I grew up in that era where you really didn't even go to the shop, to the supermarket. My mother went to the supermarket once a month. That's all she could afford to do. Once a month. And we walked there and hauled it back in a shopping cart type deal. Honestly, we were, as boys, my brother and I, we were a little embarrassed to do that until we got in the house and started digging in the bags. You know, the older you get, you start reminiscing about those kinds of things. I need to stop that because that's people don't want to hear that. That's how I grew up. Blessed it. And not only did he bless it, I want you to note this word. It said he gave it to the disciples. Interesting word in the original language. That word gave means that he gave and he kept on giving. That's what it means in the original language. He didn't, and I don't know how he did it. How did he do it? From his hand to the disciples' hands to the people, it just never stopped multiplying. Over and over and over, he gave. How did less become more? And he kept on giving until every need was met. As long as food was needed, it was there. And that's how many homes are. As long as food is needed, somehow it's there. He blessed, he gave. And then there's a third part, and I think that is our part. After the disciples distributed the food and they ate the food, they were satisfied. Now, Carl, I'm going to tell on us. This is my daughter's birthday this past week, and we went out to eat at one of her favorite places. And it's one of those places where they give you a whole lot. And I wasn't satisfied. I was stuffed. There is a difference. We're laughing because we've been there. They were satisfied, not stuffed. They were filled. But what do you know I like about this particular story? It says something about God's dealing in abundance as it relates to our needs. And somehow, God in his goodness manages to feed us over and over and over again for years on end. It's almost embarrassing for us to complain about the food that we have in this country. If you complain about it, you ought to be embarrassed. In fact, I'd venture to say you throw away more food than some people have to eat. Oh, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. Ever go to a place where after you've gotten satisfied, they put more on your plate, and they're not satisfied until you get stuffed? I'm glad we don't live in a nation like that, right? Aren't you glad? All we want to do is be satisfied, not stuffed. And then I went through this, the blessed, gave, satisfied, and then I got stuck in an area that I'd like to share with you that I believe I needed an answer to. If God is so good and he could do a miracle like that, then why is it every 5 seconds a child dies from hunger? Why is it that 16,000 children will die today of hunger? Why doesn't God work a miracle? Why is it that of the 6.7 billion people on planet Earth, over a billion of them go to bed hungry? Why is that? Where's God in all those miracles in the 21st century? That's what I ask myself. I know you wouldn't ask that, but that's what I ask myself. Why is it that 70% of those that are malnourished are in Asia? And 26% are in Africa, and 4% are in Latin America, and we didn't even make the list. God, if you can do miracles like that, why? What's wrong? What's wrong today? And you know what I found out as I kept reading? That this world produces enough food so that every single person on this planet could be satisfied every day. So maybe it's not Jesus. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's how we distribute food. But you know where sometimes we get tied up? You know why I think we haven't read this story and we don't preach on this story? Because we're hung up on the fact that Jesus gave out bread and fish. Oh, Jesus. Oh, help me. I know I'm in trouble, but I'm going out anyway. So I think we get hung up on the fact that Jesus gave out fish. Let me tell you, that has nothing to do with you being a vegan. In fact, I hope you will be. I hope y'all got that. That's okay. Jesus used the simple food of his day to give to the people. And that's all right. Amen. Oh, I thank you. I got an amen up front here. Thank you. In fact, maybe this story is not about food at all. Maybe that's not the emphasis. Could it be that Jesus was telling the people before he went to the cross that I am the bread of life? Anything that you eat, I supply it. Your ability to make it has to do with me. Could it be he was saying that? Could it be? I was intrigued by the fact that every disciple had their own territory and every disciple had their own basket and had their own group of people. Could it be that Jesus was saying to the disciples at the end of their ministry with him, maybe he was telling them, you remember when he brought them into ministry, he says, I want you to be fishers of men. Could he be demonstrating to his disciples that you ought to be fishers of men? And they had it in an... It was right before them. And every person had their own territory and own basket. Maybe that's a hint to disciples everywhere. Maybe our purpose for being here is to touch the lives of someone else. And if food is a way that we can touch your life and turn you closer to Jesus, maybe that's all right. In fact, I would venture to say that you would agree with me on what I'm going to say. You have a better chance of reaching men and women when their stomachs are satisfied than when they're hungry. I've been a critic, and you know it. I'm not going to try to fool you. I've been a critic of the every week potluck. There's no secret. I'm not going to try and fool you. You know it. But there is something to be said about ministry that happens around food. Oh, if we would only use that to our best advantage and not be just so in a hurry to get in line to stuff. We might get it. Oh, I'm going. I'm on the way out so I can say the tough stuff. Maybe we would get it. A lot of ministry happens around food. It does. And so for that, I'm grateful for the potluck and what it does in that ministry. A lot of conversation, a lot of caring, a lot of giving happens there. Maybe God, I don't know. We'll never know. I wonder how many, oh, and by the way, it was 10,000 plus. It was not 5,000. They left off the women and children. So Jesus fed 10,000 plus. Maybe it could be that Jesus was trying to touch their hearts. And I wonder how many of those 10,000 plus gave their hearts to the Lord. I wonder. I don't know that. We don't know that. But I wonder how many gave their hearts to the Lord. When less is more, I've always, as I conclude, I've been amazed at what God has done to this church. And I'll just be honest with you, other than the Lord, I can't figure out why we would be up 17% on our tithe. I can't figure that out. It has nothing to do with me. I haven't figured it out, but I am convinced when God takes it, less becomes more. I'm convinced of that. And if you're not on that blessing plan, get on it quickly. Because some of us realize that, and we're on that blessing plan. Less is more. If you're waiting for a sign and the fact that it feels right and that it makes sense that you write that check out to the church, you're never going to feel that. You do it because God takes it and blesses it, and he asks you to do it. There's a story. I think it's only fitting. It's by HMS Richards Jr. It's in the book, The Best News Ever. He tells a story about an 8-year-old whose dad was trying to teach him things about life, about doing for yourself. So at 8 years old, his dad told him, you go out and make your own way. That was the turn of the century. We can't do that today. That y'all labor laws, don't do that today. That's just the turn of the century. And so the son got out there and tried to make his way at 8. Kept working and learning skills that have to do with work and work ethic and so on. And really eventually established a business. In fact, he established a, I'm taking a long story and making it real short, a bunch of stores entitled the Golden Rule Stores. You may have heard of that. And he became a multimillionaire over those stores. But you know, it can come and go just that quick. By the time he got in his middle years, he was broke. So he found himself broke and sick and went to, guess where? The Battle Creek Sanitarium. Got there, and as they were having worship, they were singing a song, the staff, God will take care of you. And he said that song touched his heart and changed his life over the song. Said he was healed. And now I understand. As those of you who read the story know what I'm talking about. Because I couldn't figure out in this economy how in the world J.C. Penney's had not gone out of business. Now, I know that's on the tape, but and the little boy grew up to be J.C. Penney. Because I can't understand how they're still in business. I don't see a lot of people in their stores, but God's kept them open. Now I understand. You see, when God blesses you, you're blessed. Amen. Come on. Somebody know what I'm talking about in here. When God blesses you, you're blessed. Amen. And he can take less and make more out of it. How do I know? Because I just sold my house. And I don't have a clue on how it happened other than God. Amen. Come on, some of y'all got stories just like that. I got to stop before I just go ahead on and on and on. God is better than good. He is great. Amen. How many want God to bless you real good? That little bit that you have, that less, let God have it. Watch what he'll do with it. He'll make more out of it. How many believe that today? I believe that in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. What a great God you are. And Lord, we're talking about food and stuff, but it's more than that. Lord, you have taken lives of less. You've taken lives and made more out of it. When we've put our hands, when we put our lives in your hands, we thank you, Lord. When we look back on our lives, we have to shake our head and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Lord, continue to bless this congregation. And we have a problem, Lord. We're not going to be able. We're going to grow so. We're going to be blessed so. That we'll be hard-pressed to figure out what to do with the excess. We thank you, Lord, for the abundant life in you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You've been patient today.